Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tatho Jaya Mudirae Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, text chapter 51, and text 48 and 49. Please repeat after me. Kalevaresmin ghatakudya sannibhe niruddhamano naradeva ityaham. Vratorathe bhashvapadatya nikaper gam paryatam stva ganayan sudurmada. Kalevaresmin ghatakudya sannibhe niruddhamano naradeva ityaham. Pritorathe bhashvapadatya nikaper gam paryatam stva ganayan sudurmada. Kalevaresmin ghatakudya sannibhe niruddhamano naradeva ityaham. Vritorathe bhashvapadatya nikape gam paryatam stva ganayan sudurmada. Mataji's. Kalevare, in the body. Asmin, this. Ghata, a pot. Kudya, or a wall. Sannibhe, which is like. Niruddha, exaggerated manner whose false identification Naradeva, a god among men, a king, iti, thus thinking myself, aham, I, pritaha, surrounded, ratha, by chariots, ibha, elephants, ashva, horses, padati, infantry, anikape, and generals, gam, the earth, pariyatan, traveling, tva, you, aganayan, not regarding seriously, sudurmada, very much deluded by pride. Translation by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. With deep arrogance, I took myself to be the body, which is a material object like pot or a well, or a wall, which is a material object like a pot or a wall. Thinking myself a god among men, I travel the earth surrounded by my charioteers, elephants, cavalry, foot soldiers and generals, disregarding you in my deluding pride. There's no purport, so we go to text 49. Just read the translation. A man obsessed with thoughts of what he thinks needs to be done, intensely greedy and delighting in sense enjoyment, is suddenly confronted by you who are ever alert. Like a hungry snake licking its fangs before a mouse, you appear before him as death. Purport. We may note here the contrast between the words pramattam and apramattaha. Those who are trying to exploit the material world are pramatta, deluded, bewildered, maddened by desire. But the Lord is apramatta, alert, sober, unbewildered. In our madness, we may deny God or His laws, but the Lord is sober and will not fail to reward or punish us according to the quality of our activities. Om Ajnantamirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachayane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyata Deshatarina Dashi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadvaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So today we have read two verses, and it's quite amazing that in one sense these two verses actually cover the span of life. What King Muchukunda in his wonderful realizations, of course he is so humble that he is speaking as a very, he is an elevated soul, but he is speaking for the benefit of all of us. So in the first verse he is saying that how it would apply to any all of us actually, the entire world and Kali Yuga, that he is totally disregarded in his delusion of pride and anathas, he is totally disregarded the Lord and is going on his own life. So that really represents in a sense when we have got birth and then we progress on one track. And then we come to a crossroads. If you are fortunate, by great fortune, if you have got some connection to spirituality and Lord Chaitanya's movement in our case, we have a choice. But let's say for the majority of people, if they don't have that, and out of ignorance and out of their own desires, they will progress one way. And then what is the net result is given in the second verse, that by the intense greed, by the pride and complete disregard, the person is going ahead, and suddenly out of the blue, so-called out of the blue, the Lord appears, and he's given a very graphic description how the mouse is caught by the fangs of a snake. So the Lord suddenly appears as death. So this is really, really what happens if we, even as devotees, even as aspiring devotees, we are in the movement, but we do get a sudden shock when somebody departs. But at least it gives us a mental understanding, and especially if we are in the right association and Shravanam, as to over time, there is a sadness, but we understand how attached we get, and then the detachment takes place and is a wrenching change. But imagine if we are not in that situation. We just go merrily along, and if we are successful, then actually nothing stops us from thinking that we are actually the masters of our destiny and we are the providers of our own future and on our own success. And then it's as if there is a perfect world. The canvas is painted by us. You know, it's, you know, the dawn is as it appears to us, and there is no darkness. And suddenly, when a shock comes, it's complete devastation. And it isn't easy to imagine such a thing. I mean, we may say it mentally also, we see, but only when somebody realizes that, then one understands. And especially somebody who may not have had any benefit of scriptural understanding, one can't imagine the kind of despair and depression and other things that go through somebody's mind. But at least it gives a glimpse of what some of the tragedies of today that take place, and how a person could be, in what situation he could be. So actually right through all our Vedic scriptures, if you see the common theme, there are many themes in many of the, in all the Puranas and the all the Vedic scriptures, but one of the common themes continuously is the aspect of false ego. We talk of arrogance here, arrogance, pride, you know, illusion, envy. So this false ego is, you will see it in, take any scripture, and ultimately you will find the stories of the great kings. You will find many kshatriyas, where you find the religious kshatriyas, and you find what I would say the atheistic kshatriyas. You have, you know, King Dashrath or King Parikshit, and Amrish Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj. The difference is that these are the kshatriyas who have been guided by Brahmins, by the wiser counsel, and they want to do the best on a selfless basis, because they see themselves as servants of their subjects as well as the servants of the Lord. And then you have the atheistic kshatriyas who have achieved successes beyond what we cannot even imagine in today's world, but at that time what we read in the scriptures, Hiranyakashipu, Ravan, King Vena. And then you come down even in recent times to Mammad Ghazni or Aurangzeb. That is part of our history. Most of us are probably at least forced to study this part of history, and the kind of destruction. So you can see the what godlessness and a bent of mind which is entirely born out of so-called individual success and a completely unbridled sense gratification, where you everything is meant for your pleasure, and what you want you get. So that is the ultimate, because they were kings, so they had the kind of powers. But that mentality we see even in today's leaders, by and large, because it's ultimately, though it's an irony, or it's like a paradox, I would say, that in America, when there was a recent survey, and it said 90% of people claim that they believe in God, which is a very high figure. And I'm sure in India also it would be a deafening majority for sure. But on the other hand, the leaders, their approach to religion is or spirituality is primarily for their sense gratification. In India, we're used to seeing that suddenly any festival comes. First of all, festivals also are celebrated in a way which is which has no meaning of the original, whether it is Dasera or Ram Navami or Krishna Jayanti, Janmashtami, or any festival, even the Muslim festivals. Primarily, it is only a matter of just awaiting an opportunity to enjoy, to let your hair down, as they say. And then the politicians and the leaders would suddenly see their posters coming all over, saying, greeting us from the billboards hanging from the trees, So the only thing that the festival name changes, baki they are the same. So this is, it's an opportunism trying to fool the ignorant public, thinking that we are with you. But they don't have any belief at all. And it's not just politicians, it's you can say the establishment, the people who are ruling, those who are successful in whatever fields. There may be individual, great, very successful literary writers or very successful businessmen. Any field of life, virtually, it is very, very difficult to find somebody who actually understands the way we've seen our great leaders understand, that they are actually the servants of the subjects. So what we can see is that this, it is a warning to us. It's actually a test. It's really, yes, it's a warning to us that if we do get success or if we do get failure, we are not the cause. We are going to get our quota. We need to work hard, but there is a certain design and there's a designer behind it. And in that process, we have to find our situation, which is a constant. That constant situation that remains is our connection to the as a spirit soul, which is a real identity, which is going to, till this body is worn out, the soul is in this body. So whatever that function of this body, whatever the external situation that the body has been presented in, whichever family it is born in, whichever whatever the material condition is developed, whatever academic condition is given, each unique person in this entire 7 billion people, each has got his own set of circumstances based on karma. So one, the idea of Krishna consciousness is consciousness connected to Krishna, such that we understand that the center of everything is the creator, the one who originates. And our purpose is to try to discover our link with him and develop our love. So, love for him, in which, while without neglecting our duties. So, our duties get dovetailed. So, we have a main business and we have a side business. Many people have two businesses. Sometimes they are professionals, but they're also earning something on the side. Or they may be the housewives and they may be having some, tiffin service or something, some other income, double income, you can say. So you have, similarly as a living entity, we have a main business, and our main business has to be the constant. The constant is that no matter what happens, suddenly we see a lot of success, happiness, birth of a child, and, good news suddenly comes. Or the other way around, that we have suddenly some bad news or we get some shocks, difficulties. This will happen, this goes on. But the constant is that we are growing older, and as we grow, we keep a association of devotees and through that follow the regulative principles such that we try to find meaning in that, not that it becomes monotonous. Otherwise, it will not last. So that comes through devotional service, and that devotional service means cooperation, selflessness. We have to do what is pleasing to others. So this process is something which somehow we have to cling on to, no matter what the external situations are. And the external situation is going to keep changing, and all of it is a test. The result is already known to the drama creator But he wants to, you know, he wants to unravel the suspense and see how we react to that. So as we go along, you know, as we go move towards it, we have to cling to the constant. But in that, the biggest challenge for us is not the external rather than the internal. Because sometimes, most often, as Krishna has said in 7.15 Bhagavad Gita, that actually most of the devotees, most of the people come to him when they're in distress. So that way, actually by causing distress, a lot of people will at least go to temples or mosques and church. We do see that. And some of them, if they are sincere enough, they will get the opportunity to get the real wisdom. But the internal difficulties, which even devotees will face, even all of us face every day, every moment, is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains to Rupa Goswami about the weeds. And he gives the analogy of the weeds because, you know, the weeds are unwanted grass which is growing part of the garden or the along with the flowers. So, to an untrained eye or to somebody who is a materialistic person out and out, you know, the weeds may seem to be a very nice bed of forest and would need to water it, maybe protect it also, would not like to, if anybody tramples on it, he won't like to do that. So similarly, the weeds which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is referring to are our anarthas which we have. And that will exist if we do not acknowledge that, then even if we are chanting, if we are following regular principles, we may be serving also. But this the lust, greed, anger, pride, illusion, envy, these are the weeds which have to be removed. Now, the problem is that if you just keep cutting and cutting also, it doesn't get, it will grow again. In fact, it may grow faster. But therefore, the only way is to go to the source. And going to the source and removing it is painful, but also, first of all, we need to have the understanding, that is the jnana, and then we have to act on it. So, unless we go to the root, we will constantly have this problem. And even if there is the slightest bit of, say, ahankar or pride in us, then actually all the potential, all the bad qualities could spring up any time. Because all these qualities are actually in their potential state lying in a dormant condition, as long as that seed is there. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that actually when we start the process of chanting and hearing and devotional service, we are already watering that seed of devotion. But along with it, the weeds grow. So when the weeds are growing, you know, when we, if we don't remove it from the, then you may think you cut it and it's just, you know, superficially shorn off and you don't see it. But even if the smallest, the seed remains, all the bad qualities are lying within the seed of that ahankar and could come up any time. And that is why it explains why sometimes, whether devotees or others, you know, they do wonderful things. We can do wonderful things and then somehow we can do most abominable things. Both the things the same person can do. So, and we don't, we sometimes find ourselves helpless that we feel extremely enthused and motivated. We feel extremely inspired to take up Krishna consciousness. Some days go so well. And then if we lose control and we may speak something, we may act in some way, which we, and then we repent and we go into depression thinking, how could I have said this? Or why could I do this? But this, the answer is here that because we have that element of false ego still remaining, and that is the worry. That is the worry, but also that is the, you can say, an opportunity, because at least we are aware that this is the case, and which means that we need help at all times. So as they say, running scared is, you know, means you're always constantly worried about, you know, you're looking over your shoulder. So if that kind of mentality remains for a devotee, that is a more protective environment, because you are in a situation where you will be seeking help and there will be others who can help. And then the help comes in by way of other devotees also. So there are many examples through the scriptures where we see both
you know, whatever attributes we have given and still we lose control. You know, when Haridas Thakur, who was Lord Brahma, who incarnated at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was, he's the Namacharya as designated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. He was such a humble soul, who had absolutely not even a trace of pride. But yet, most unprovoked, Ramchandra Khan, he was a wealthy landowner, he was a handsome fellow, he was popular in his own way, people respected him, or, well, maybe not respected, but at least he was popular and he was liked by the people. So, people would come to him. And still, there was nothing that Haridas Thakur had done to provoke him, but he just couldn't, he had such envy that he could not stand the popularity of Haridas Thakur. So, it was not that somebody has to interfere in your life. You don't need that excuse. It will just, if our attitude and deep embedded in our consciousness, if we have that against somebody who, then we'll find a reason. It may not be so apparent. To others it may look like envy. To us it will not. We may see, well, you know, we'll always have some justification. So Ramchandra Khan, if he were to ask, why are you so envious? I'm not envious. But he'd be criticizing and he'd be finding faults with Haridas Thakur. So similarly, we may be finding faults with someone and very upset with someone, it could be, we may be having some technical reasons also, but effectively, it may, eventually, we may hopefully realize that, and we get a chance to improve, but actually damage is done, that we really, it is from our false ego. So therefore, it is said that devotional service is like walking on a razor's edge, you know, slight misstep and you could actually get cut. It is not that when we take to this process, we feel a difference, definitely, but we must understand that we have to be extremely grateful for it. It's like we have been just, somebody's plucked us out of thin air and given us, a hungry man is going and somebody, we don't know, somebody picks us and puts us in front of a feast. It's like that. But can that person take credit and say, no, he's grateful, he's bewildered initially before he starts the process of understanding. But that gratitude is the feeling that we should have, that we have been given this enormous good fortune. But that gratitude doesn't come just by speaking, it has to be acted. So that, to put into action is the lifetime of Krishna consciousness, which is really struggling, 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 struggling. Not to get depressed if we have a misstep, which we are bound to have. We should also understand that our limitations, but we should not be consoling ourselves with the limitations. We have to be moving away from our limitations, and if we so we should be strong, harsh on ourselves, but not such that we find it a reason to just give up Krishna consciousness, think that, well, it is too much and I don't want to do anything. So these weeds are something which we have to be aware of, and Ramchandra Khan was not aware of, and he became so envious just because he perceived somebody's popularity to be more than what he could digest. And it happened to be a pure devotee like Haridas Thakur. Now you may say that Ramchandra Khan was not a devotee. But even as devotees, we have many examples. Take the case of Indra. Indra comes so many times to give us this example. And the one of the more famous examples where we get a lesson from his life is when he brings the Samvartaka clouds, the Govardhan Leela, to destroy. Now here is a devotee. He's a much higher devotee than all of us. But even then he has this tendency to forget. And what does he do? He's actually out to... His intention was to kill. His intention was not to harass. His intention was to completely finish off everyone. And means the entire city of Vrindavan would have been destroyed. So one had to be cautious to see how the action could really go into a complete another extreme. And another case is of Rup Narayan. Well, Rup Narayan was not a devotee. Let me give an example of a devotee. There was a devotee called Rup Kaviraj, also during Chaitanya Leela. He came little later. Now, see his credentials, see his pedigree. He was the Raghunath Das Goswami, one of the six Goswamis. Is on our altar also. One of the six Goswamis who, his disciple was Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, whose disciple was a very great devotee called Mukunda. And his disciple was Rup Kaviraj. And this Rup Kaviraj, if you see his description, you would say that this is the epitome, the ideal of any devotee. Very austere. He lived in Radhakund. Master of scriptures. Great orator. Spoke with great conviction. He could enthral people. You know, people were mesmerized by his speaking. Would wear only discarded garments. He didn't even have any residence. What would you expect of such a person? No? What was the association? His association was, his Guru Maharaj was a pure devotee, and all these great Vaishnavas, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, lived so long that, you know, he had his association. All this was there, but unfortunately he developed his own sense of false prestige. So this is a classic case of a devotee who had all the credentials and who actually acted, and he came to such a high level. So if he were only described about his austerity, his prowess, his ability to understand spiritual knowledge and give that great orator, give fantastic classes, everything. But because he had this sense of false prestige, because of his qualities and also because of his association with these great devotees. So, once when one simple Mataji called Krishna Priya Devi, who was a descendant of Gangadas Chakravarti, Ganganarayan Chakravarti, the great disciple of Narottam Das Thakur. So she was sitting at the back of a Bhagavatam class that he was giving. And while she was awake and she was hearing what he was speaking, but at the same time, she was chanting, but not loudly. Nobody could hear the words. Her mouth was speaking the holy name, and this infuriated Rup Kaviraj to the extent that I am giving class, and in his opinion, she was not paying attention. And how could she do this? So, in front of all, publicly, he chastised her, saying that you, how can you? Why are you chanting? Why are you not paying attention? So she was very humble. So she just began to explain that actually I was just I was paying attention. I was not asleep, and I was hearing you. But I can't help it. You know, from childhood I have had a very deep love for the holy name. So it just comes automatically to me. I can't stop it. But because she spoke to him, he thought that this is like a challenge. And that outraged him so much that he really was like fire on her, you know. And what was the result? That he contracted disease, he lost all his spiritual prowess, eventually died, and then became a ghost. Just imagine, from where to where. First of all, we probably haven't even, in terms of the external attributes, very few would come to the level that he was. But along with it, if these weeds are there, if you're not aware of it, so it is not a matter of how many years we have spent. You may be 30 years or 50 years in the movement. It is not that. It is also not a matter of whom we associate with, not only a matter of that. So it is not a matter of anything other than how we have, what is our consciousness. So that means how we have understood the and incorporated or absorbed the lessons of Krishna consciousness. And how much we are sincerely trying to put it into our life is really the key. So, there are enormous examples which are there entirely for our benefit. And again, I would say that it is not a matter of making mistakes or even making offenses, which we are doing so often. But it is a matter of rectifying them when we first of all, introspecting, and then we rectify. If you don't like the situation, what we are doing against it, if we may have taken a wrong step and hurt other people, especially devotees. So in this process, there are certain symptoms of Kaliyuga which are obstacles to us. And once Radha Gopinath Prabhu had mentioned many years ago in the class. He said one is the, this is typical of Kali Yuga itself. So first of all, this is the environment in which we are in, so which is always an added challenge, where we have to, so we have our own internal issues, but we have also a situational issue. One of them is that Kali Yuga means authority is undermined. Undermined means people don't follow authority generally. So the nature, the tendency, and you see this in all walks of life. We will see it in our own families now as the generations go down. But you also find it in our occupational place, you find it in other establishments, everywhere, that essentially authority is not followed. Of course, authorities can be wrong, and they are often, most of the time, if they are wrong authorities. But then the backlash is as an opposition, which is also unreasonable and could be violent. So, but the real authority, we are talking of authority of the scriptures of Krishna and his representatives, that authority would be generally undermined, and the result is that there is a chaos, anarchy in terms of living, and multiplication of problems. And you will see that because the governments also aid that in general. After all, the governments are increasing, because they get revenue, they will allow, you know, alcohol, tobacco, etc. to keep growing, because that's a real money spinner for them. And also, they pass laws which allow abortions, all kinds of laws, where we see, as a result of that, a kind of a violent society is created. And because people have an unbridled passion, the mode of passion goes out of, most of the time we are either in mode of passion or mode of ignorance, which means we are so much uncontrolled that we see the, if anybody is trying to be in a mode of goodness, it's very, very challenging. Very difficult, because it's very difficult to survive or to exist in that, because it is not recognized. You know, one has to be competing, one has to be defeating someone, one has to climb over somebody. Cooperation is, if it's there, it is only in a narrow sense wherein a small group cooperates for the larger competition. So it is not in the sense of, that also they will be competing internally with each other, because they would make sure that they are finally recognized. So today's governments and today's society, and I would say today means over the last 200, 300 years, the society has progressed essentially to create individualism. Individualism and individualistic, as opposed to family. The breakdown of family is in fact a key to today's progress, if you see the Western worlds. And this individualistic or self-centered approach is really what is at the heart of the problem of the society. Because a family unit, of course, it doesn't mean that you just stay in a family means you will be Krishna conscious. But a family unit as a culture will promote chastity, will promote respect to elders, will promote cooperation, will promote sacrifice. People have to give and take. And that comes naturally. Even whether, you know, people staying in the villages or in towns. And that's why you see 50, 60, 70 years ago, there was relatively more inclination for people to follow authority. And therefore, the potential is there for them to accept spiritual authority. And then, of course, as we have seen, I mean, we have the good fortune, the great fortune of coming in touch with a devotee and coming in touch with Srila Prabhupada's movement. Similarly, the opportunity for them would be that they would get in touch with a genuine spiritual person, because the patra, you know, the environment is ready to absorb it. So the challenge is that this authority is undermined. Second challenge is that people, second symptom of Kali Yuga is that there is duty is less accepted, enjoyment is more accepted. As a rule, people want to enjoy more and do less duty. And this we see that, so therefore we do what we want, not what we need to do. So, the aspect of self-discipline, which is necessary to progress in Krishna consciousness, just doesn't come up, because we are completely absorbed in what we need to do. So this self-absorption really promotes this attitude of doing what we want to do, which means we will do what we enjoy. So therefore there can be a clash, because a duty is something which is in the larger interest. It could be for the family, for the city, for the environment we work in, or for an organization, for institution. It's basically for others, because we are willing to do what we may not like to do, but that attitude becomes less and less. A third is a symptom is general discontentment. Just people are so, and this is obvious, because the more we are individualistic and self-centered, the more we want. And the nature of this is that, the nature of false ego actually is that the more we want, the more we get, the more we want. So it really feeds, it's like adding fuel to the fire. So our hunger keeps increasing, it doesn't decrease. And we've experienced it, you know, we see sometimes, you know, when we get something, at that time we feel we are satisfied, we are so ecstatic, happy and all that. And then later we are still, and if we don't get that the next time around, why we are wondering why we don't get that. And we move towards trying to get that. So there's a general discontentment which leads to trying to find our own, and we'll never, and not realizing that we are actually completely on the wrong path, and we'll never find the contentment. But here we are looking at, so that fire keeps burning. So the antidote is, of course, as a aspiring devotee, one of the major disciplines we have to bring in is to be contented with what we have. We make every effort for increasing our service, every effort. But we also learn to accept setbacks, or learn to accept the instructions or the signals that may come from, ultimately from Krishna, coming through Guru and through the immediate authorities. So this general discontentment is pervading, all pervading. Another is loneliness. Again, this is one where, because again, essentially coming from the individualistic need that today, what is there for me? I. But then what the result of that is that people will find the happiness in, you will see that the proliferation of, for instance, video games, computer games, sex, movies. I mean, these are all manifestations of finding to, trying to allay your loneliness. You have to, you find something and you'll, the restlessness that increases. You just go from one to the other. And the fifth is that the general increase of your self-esteem. You just feel so much, the smallest thing that happens, and you take that link to yourself. And I'm astonished that so many times you see that, you know, some, in my experience also, you know, something has happened which is really very fortunate. Let's say an external situation changes. Say the real estate market has improved, the prices have improved, right? And somebody then makes gets benefit out of that. But it's amazing how many people jump to the conclusion that they were the ones who created it, because they were there and they foresaw it and all that. I mean, you know, there's complete cloud in front of that. So that tendency is very strong to somehow link everything that happens, especially the only the good things, to ourselves. So that increase in self-esteem is another thing. So these are the five broad aspects of Kaliyuga symptoms, which are anyway against us. And on top of it, we have the aspect of our own internal inadequacies, the anarthas, which we have to move against. So briefly, in King Muchukunda's wonderful prayers, what he is showing us is that through his prayers for us, that he's putting all this on himself, which actually is really not demonstrated by his great life, and especially when he his prayer to finally when he to the Lord, to Krishna. But nevertheless, in these two verses, we see that what happens when a person is completely arrogant and does everything around himself or herself, and at the end of the time, we are going to pay the consequences. Also, what he is showing us, that suddenly when we get like lambs taken to a slaughter, you know, there's a phrase, the lambs to the slaughter. Why? Because a lamb is a very innocent, little, sweet-looking animal, and it's actually true. We, you know, when the lamb is slaughtered for its meat, like other animals, they are not in a position to even understand. So they are all lined up and they're eating the grass, not knowing that seconds later they're going to be chopped off. So it's our position is something like that we are actually, if we go without any spiritual guidance, and if we don't have a restraint, and if we are not having this constant internal checks, we will be moving full speed ahead, and God forbid if we are given success, even worse, because we will be accelerating rather than there will be natural speed breakers that may come because of problems. But if the problem is not there, we think, we are going, but we don't know that there is no break. And then suddenly, it's not a question of break, it is a break of life completely. And then what happens, we don't know. And that is another thing, that because we do not see, we cannot understand the fog, we can see from the scriptures what the consequences are, which means that we'd have to take birth in any one of the 8.4 million species. So it's like a vague mental thing that yes, 8.4 million, but we do not know that whether this person, we can only imagine that, well, you could, it's not that you're only going to get a human life, you could well be one of those mosquitoes which we heard recently that they're born at night and their whole life cycle is over in the next few hours, and by daytime they're finished. So we don't know that this must have been perhaps Napoleon, or he's still going through his going up, or Hitler, or somebody who's Ghazni, who's going through his bottom up approach, coming now to his he's covered 200,000 lives, now he's come to the 300,000 or whatever, and you don't know, and we may be just snapping him off. Somebody kills him in that second, poor fellow, one more, now he's going back to another one. We don't know. So because of our sheer ignorance, and we cannot know, but we can understand from the eyes of the Shastra that we could have an unforeseen kind of life. We just don't know. And it could be, and that's why it said that the greatest tragedy is to, beyond anything, is to really, if you have been given something, and as devotees we have been given the opportunity for Krishna consciousness, at least to try to live with that. It's been given in a golden platter. And if we reject it, and if we lead a life which is totally contrary to that, then there's nothing greater, no greater tragedy than that. So, we conclude today. And are there any questions? We have time for maybe 2-3 minutes, if at all. Yeah, Prabhuji.
You were speaking very nicely about pulling the weeds of the garden of the heart. Could you speak a little bit more on how to actually pull up the weeds from the roots you were mentioning?
Well, the traces of ahankar, or the pride and envy which remains, the anarthas that remain, we have to be aware that we still have that. So that comes through regular association, and I'm saying from knowledge, because I'm personally going through the same situations, but as the Shastras tell us that the answer lies in that we have to immerse ourselves in a sincere approach to Krishna consciousness, where we are, basically humility is the base. Humility is the basic need, and humility in the real sense means surrender. It is not an external situation of looking humble, feeling humble, and which means to surrender to our, so as Narottam Das Thakur and other great devotees we've seen, when you hear them, we cannot imagine that Krishna Das, Kaviraj Goswami, when they speak about themselves, Vasudev Dutt, they speak as, we cannot imagine how they could be honest to themselves and still speaking that. But at the same time, they're completely honest. They see it that way. So they have developed, come to the level where they see themselves as so low, and everything is, everything else, they are the fault or the problem. So at least that's the direction that we need to go, where we take a humble position, we see, we are able to, we get corrected by others, we're willing to be corrected, so we should be not revolting or reacting to that, and constantly seeking guidance as to, are we making any mistakes? Sometimes we ourselves can experience it, but sometimes we may not be, then we are willing to take advice. So this is the real meaning of association, not that we just meet in a collegial way and have a nice kirtan, satsang, and we go. No, we hear that, but the implementation in our actions and words is the other part, which we have to do on our own. We are answerable on our own, but we have all the help we need. So if we are doing it in that way, then we are really taking the benefit. And that's what Prabhupada wanted when he said, ISKCON is, I built a house in which the whole world can live. He meant a house where there is cooperation, and that is why he created the structure of GBC where there's no, there are all many great devotees, but there's not that one person could replace Prabhupada. So he said that you're forced to cooperate. So this is all an aspect of humbling oneself. And in that process, the weeds will eventually come out as per the Shastras. But the point remains that it has to go from the root. Not even a single trace remains. And we also told, we have been told that we cannot enter into Golok even if we have the slightest tinge of attachment or any anatha, slightest. Now, it's bewildering to imagine what a tinge is when we have lots of it, you know. So, we don't have to, but we need not be dreaming of that. But at least it gives corroboration to what we hear today that, yes, we have to just move towards attacking our own weeds. First of all, being aware of the weeds and then attacking. So, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, appearance of Radha Kund ki jai. So, it's a very auspicious day today. This is the appearance of Radha Kund.